Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to Build an Agency. We're on episode 8, and we've got a great episode planned for you today. I'm here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, guys? What's up?
Dude, he's got back from Dallas.
Yeah, nice little weekend trip, I guess. Got to go watch the Rangers play. I'm not a Rangers fan necessarily, but, you know, it's still good. Got to get away for a minute. So after, like, our long week last week. So yeah. We had a super rough week, actually. Not a super rough week. It was, like, a super rough day. But, yeah. I
had some stress from one day carry over the next day and weighing me down a little bit, but I don't know. Crazy week. So how was it kind of getting out, you know, getting away for a little bit, for just a couple of days?
I hate it. I hated it. Like, honestly. Well, I mean, first of all, I had my phone on still.
Sure.
So, like, it's not like I wasn't taking, like, customer calls or, like, running email stuff. So I just don't like when I'm not able to, like, sit down and, like, do stuff when I want to do it. So it was just kind of weird. I don't know. I don't like it. I was thinking about work anyway. I think the only way that I could really, like, actually take a solid vacation is probably to just, like, absolutely unplug and make sure that all my bases are covered before I go on, like, a vacation. Mm-hmm. And that's going to involve, like, you know, employees covering bases and, like, not having anything scheduled during those times, and having people understand that it is a time off and to not call me or like have some kind of forwarding system or have some kind of
something's in place so you don't have to mess with it.
And I have a feeling that's how it's going to be from now until the dawn of time. So
for sure. So were you not able to, like, to enjoy your time? Or
I mean, you enjoy it, but I wasn't always, like, 100% there, you know?
Sure.
So even like out drinking with friends or something, it's like, oh, dang, I could have done something yesterday that would have, like, got me ahead for 2 days from now or something. And so it's just like I was always thinking about something else or the next thing.
Yeah.
But
I guess it's just kind of hard to kind of turn off.
It is. Yeah.
Especially, like, we're always going and going and going and going and going 7 days a week. And then suddenly, like, we take time and then we're like, oh, I don't know how to cope with this. I don't know how to deal with the fact that
I also think we, like, turned it up, like, so hot last week too, especially for sales and stuff. So we had, like, a rough day with a bunch of client problems. Not, like, problems necessarily, but, like, stuff just started hitting the fan. Like, we just had to tackle a bunch of work, right? And we had another program that kind of it was a third-party program that we were using, and we've talked about third-party programs before, and it kind of shafted us. And so we discontinued that program, and tackling, like, privacy policy issues for certain things, and I don't know. It was rough. So we turned up the heat for, like, sales last week.
Yeah.
And I guess that kept me, like, preoccupied as well.
So yeah, so every week as an entrepreneur looks entirely different. So it can be a great week and you can make huge progress and grow and it's good. And sometimes just things are just hitting the fan and it's going terribly. What are some ways that you've been able to pull yourself up whenever things get really hard?
What are ways that I have used? I'm a weird case. I'm a weird case because I really just have a super, like if you know me, you know that I, like, don't let things get to me very easily, or, like, I just think, well, what's the workaround? Like, I don't even care about the problem. I just care about a solution. So I guess that's a good way. Just try to maybe have that kind of mentality. Or if something, like, can't be fixed, like, I remember last week when you were stressing out, there was something that we couldn't really fix. Like, it wasn't something that we could necessarily, like, we didn't necessarily have control over it. And to me, that was just like, okay, well, we can't control it, so like, just find the solution. So I think that's the other thing that probably keeps me pretty tied to the ground, I guess. Like, if you literally have nothing to do, or you literally can't do anything about the situation, and it's out of your hands, then it's out of your hands. You know? Yeah. How about yourself? What do you think? Like,
I think it totally depends on the week for me. Like, I deal with anxiety. So if like one or two things happen throughout the week, I'm usually fine. But like last week, there were things that were happening that weren't in my control. And there were also things that were in my control that I felt like I was just not, like, I felt it was one of those days where like everything you set out to accomplish that day, you fail at, you know what I mean? For the whole day. And you're just kind of sitting there like going, I cannot believe today is going this badly. And so it's causing me some grief. But I'm definitely like kind of learning to roll with the punches more and more. I mean, it only gets harder. Yeah. There's always going to be more fires. There's, like, this is not the last bad week we're going to have. We might have a bad week this week, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm definitely learning to kind of take a second. For me, I need to step away from what I'm doing, or what's upsetting me, or what's bugging me. I just need to like walk away for a little while and just cool off or chill out or talk to somebody or whatever. And then when I'm kind of like calmer and a better spot, I kind of jump back in, and I usually do a lot better. So, but it entirely just depends on how bad the week is. Some days I'm just like, well, that sucks, and just keep rolling, you know. But there are some days where it just gets to me and I need to walk away for a little bit, but it's been good. Other than all the crazy stuff. But yeah, entrepreneurs, keep your heads up. Rough days are coming, but the good days are coming too.
Yeah, true. And in fact, last week we were turning up the heat a lot on sales. So, you know, trying to get after it. So we kind of took a new approach. So if you guys pay attention to our podcast, you know that we do online marketing. So we want to take a dollar from someone and give them $3 back through the power of the internet. And yeah, so normally we kind of take our own medicine a little bit. We use different online marketing techniques to get leads and then obviously change them over to customers. So we do that for the most part. But last week we did some walk-ins to try and get some mid-sized business or mid-sized businesses aware of our presence and the kind of things we can do. So we just like walked into a bunch of like mid sort of largest size companies that are like on a national scale and figured out who we need to talk to, you know, to be able to sort of pitch our services in general. And so we got that rolling. Feels pretty good. Got to follow through with a bunch of high level people and some of the requests that they have. So one of them, which I sort of anticipated this, asked for a letter of recommendation from other clients, which is kind of interesting. Like, if you had to write or receive a letter of recommendation, what would you want on it? You know, just like, oh, these guys do such good work for us.
Like, how in-depth does it need to be? Like, do they want, like, these are how they met our KPIs? Or, or like, hey, those guys are great? Or
yeah, like, they communicate well? Or, like, what is needed there? So we have a pretty big car dealership that asked us for a letter of rec. So we got to ask some of our bigger clients for a letter of recommendation now, and got to figure out how to go about that since we're, you know, obviously working with each other. But at the same time, it's like,
sure.
Hey, can you help us do stuff? It's like asking for reviews, which is like, you need them. You don't want to ask for them maybe, or maybe you do. And
yeah.
But this is like a large in-depth review.
I don't think the content of like letters of recommendations matter as much as
having a signature on paper.
Yeah. Just having like, just knowing that somebody was willing to put their name on you and to vouch for you. I think that's what, I think it depends on the reputation of that company and the fact that they wrote a letter of recommendation. Like, I don't think the contents even matter. I could be entirely wrong, but I don't know.
I mean, we have a huge client that we have like crazy results for. So I'm excited to see what they have to say. I don't know. I guess it's kind of always a good thing to have a letter of recommendation anyway. So maybe for like some of those new companies or starting up companies, companies out there that are just getting their legs, their sea legs, maybe try to get a letter of recommendation. It might help you secure some really large clients. It might help you, like, you know, get your foot in the door for some of these larger places.
If you're smaller and you don't have a good portfolio or like a solid track record, just because maybe your services are great and you've got awesome expertise, but you just haven't worked with a lot of clients and you haven't been around for very long, you don't have a lot of credibility, and it's really hard to earn that credibility when you're just getting started. So I think a letter of recommendation would be a fantastic way to really boost your credibility in the eyes of larger companies, because it's like, yeah, I know we've been around for only, you know, 2 months, but, you know, X company gave us this letter of recommendation and here are the results we gave to them. And I think that, like, that really solidifies like you as a credible company after that. So if you've got a client that you've got a great relationship with, and I would hope you have great relationships with all of your clients, like, strive for that, please. But if you've got that with one of your clients and you've got good results, like, try and see if a letter of recommendation would be something they'd be willing to do. Yeah. I think it benefits you greatly.
It's like an old school review that never really loses its shine.
Ever.
So, like, reviews are awesome, right? Everybody needs reviews right now. 93% of people check reviews before they buy something. So, like, straight up, reviews are strong. But something that might be even stronger, especially for like local businesses.
Yeah.
So this company happens to, in particular, be a large company, well-known company, well-branded company where we're at here in Lubbock. And so, you know, when we use their name or when we say their name,
it holds a ton of weight.
It holds some weight. So getting a letter of recommendation from them, you know, is pretty, it's a big pretty deal. Sexy.
I think it's a big deal. So. And I think it'll be helpful for us for not just this car dealership we're talking to, but any other large company that we're trying to do business with. Yeah. So I'm actually extremely excited to see how that goes.
It's kind of a power play recommend to some young companies, I guess.
Oh yeah, like,
or even old companies for that matter.
I think it'd be huge. I wish I had thought about that like forever ago, because there's so many times where we've had conversations where something like, yeah, but we don't have a lot of credibility right now, or we don't have a lot of this, and I'm like, man, if we had just gotten a couple of letters of recommendation, like that would just have solidified so much in our early stages. So learn from our mistake, get a letter of recommendation as early as possible
from a nice, credible client.
Yeah, I mean, but even if you're starting off with small clients, like if you help a mom and pop shop, then take that letter of get a letter of recommendation no matter what from them, and just work your way up to larger companies.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. No matter who they are, like, get a letter of recommendation, because I really do think it's just the act of somebody stamping their brand of approval on you really solidifies your credibility in a big way. Like, reviews are like individuals vouching for your company. Like, letters of recommendation are almost like the company as a whole, as like an entity, reviews you or like recommends you. That's pretty powerful.
It is a strong statement.
But so sales went good.
Yeah. How good start. I mean, B2B takes forever. So, sure.
If you're listening last week for episode 7, Attilio did a fire sales episode. Like, listen to episode 7, probably one of our best to date. And we talked a lot about we just brought on a new sales guy named Greg. And he's been pretty fantastic. He's been a go-getter and wanting to get after it. So how did Greg do?
He did pretty well. He kind of listened in while we were doing these walk-ins. I mean, he doesn't know, like,
he's still learning the product.
Yeah. He's still learning the service. He's still learning the product and how to kind of walk in. And doing sort of mid-level sales is kind of a different ball game. It's not necessarily like walking in like, hey, does this thing look cool?
Yeah.
Do you want it? Cool, buy it. Like, it involves kind of like some level of kindling a relationship, and so it takes, you know, it takes time, it takes its stuff. So just one walk in to get the card, to get the name, is smart. And then, you know, add them on LinkedIn, you know, endorse them on stuff? I don't know. Check whatever your process might be to get into a good position where you can talk to them and make a pitch for them or a proposal. That's the way that you want to take it. So, speaking of companies, speaking of proposals, speaking of all that stuff, we kind of got a heads up, that I don't know if we want to talk about like competitors or anything, but, we pulled a kind of big card for ourselves and, decided to get a partnership with a large inbound marketing company. Some of you guys might have heard of them. HubSpot, the IPO. So we are now HubSpot partners, meaning that we can start bringing some extra value to our clients by doing all their inbound marketing instead of kind of how we've been doing it with like a la carte style. So that's going to be interesting. We got a sweet backlink from their website and the little badge saying that we're HubSpot partners. So that's pretty cool. It's kind of nice to be able to expand the horizons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have some thoughts on HubSpot, dude?
I enjoyed it, like kind of learning about it. So when you first, like, for any other agency out there that's considering doing this or becoming a HubSpot partner or anything, and we're just now starting our journey with HubSpot. So from my initial impression week, whatever, I think it was a really valuable experience. I think so. What they do is they set up some meetings with you online, and you talk with them about your agency and its offerings, and they try and really get to know your brand and what you're doing. And they offer some really good, sometimes constructive feedback. And what they work with, like, they do like consultations and different stuff to help you like close sales for different businesses you're trying to clinch as clients and all that. So I don't know. I'm really excited to work with them. I really had a great experience talking with both of those dudes, John and Greg.
Yeah.
The men.
I mean, I'm interested to see what they have to say. It for us, honestly, it's a way to just provide the extra value. Like, I actually literally just said this earlier this episode. At the end of the day, we want to take $1 from you and give you $3 back. Like, and we want to prove that, right? And so HubSpot kind of offers a nice CRM, which helps us track that kind of stuff, and it'll probably help us grow. We're banking on it helping us grow. We signed a year with them, so
yeah,
we're banking on it helping us grow and giving us like some extra value potential that we can offer people. Hopefully, we can, you know, make some really cool plays with that. So
what I really liked about HubSpot and what impressed me and kind of convinced me to sign with you on it is they really actually care about your success.
Like, yeah, which is something I'd like to sort of bring. Like, why do you say that they care? What showed you that they cared?
What showed me they cared is how accommodating they were. So HubSpot is not necessarily the cheapest thing in the world. But I think it's a super good investment, but it's not anything that a small business like ours could just like jump into and just throw money at without thinking about it, right? So we were trying to decide if it was a good time for us to kind of pull the trigger on HubSpot. And so we kind of told them like, hey, like maybe next month would be a better time for us to start. We'll be in a better spot financially and you know, we'll be able to make some moves. And they actually let us sign our contract early and started to get, you know, a lot of the benefits of being HubSpot partners before we have to pay. So they're actually giving us
basically a month free.
And well, they're giving us an extra month to pay, which I'm just very grateful for. And it was really accommodating because they know we actually have got a pretty large company here in town that we're talking to right now. And they're like, well, we want to help you get or close that sale. So how about we sign you now? You can pay us later and we'll go ahead and help you close the sale. So then you're instantly profitable off of what we've offered you.
Yeah.
And so
it's a super smart way to do things, I think. And I actually want to incorporate some of that into what we're doing because if you show someone that you're going to make them X% of revenue, like, it slowly becomes a no-brainer to work with you. Like, the cost is, like, how do you pass it up? How do you pass up giving someone, you know, the price that they're asking for, $25,000 a month, and you're for sure that you're going to make that back. Yeah. You're for sure that you're going to be getting more than that. And it's just such an upfront, like, value, upfront power play that is just, like, it needs to be embedded into every sales pitch, honestly.
Absolutely.
If you're just like, hey, you know, we get this result for everybody, I mean, it becomes a no-brainer. It becomes a no-brainer sale. Like, it's unreal.
Yeah, I don't know. Just when we were talking with John and we're like, hey, like,
the upfront value. It's the upfront value.
We think we absolutely want to work with you. We are a red hot lead, but we literally need to work next month for you know, financial security for the business and not being foolish with our money. And when he was just like, hey, like, how about we get you signed now and you can pay us in a month and we're going to help you sign on this client. That was everything to me. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
Okay.
What else do we need to talk about? We got some HubSpot gains. We got some sales gains. We got some, we were talking about social engagement, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So before the podcast actually got started, today, we're, kind of looking at, how we're doing like social engagement for the podcast and
how we're not doing it
and how we're not doing it and just kind of trying to figure out like what's the norm for companies and their social engagement? And we got a lot of like kind of varying, you know, answers on that. So we noticed that, for example, Pepsi doesn't have the highest engagement I've ever seen on their posts, but their CEO has got insane amounts of engagement on our public figure page.
Like ratio to followers, at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or Gary Vaynerchuk. He's got so much engagement going on. But if you go to VaynerMedia's page, nil. We were looking at other HubSpot partners who were, you know, doing Facebook. And like the top HubSpot partner in the country is posting super like consistently on Facebook and getting like no likes. And so, you know, I'm just trying to figure out like where is that? What are the expectations we need to have with company engagement? I guess people are way more inclined to engage with a person who they think they're talking to. I guess like someone's personal brand versus the company they run, like with Indra from Pepsi or whatever. But then we look at Coca-Cola's page. And they're absolutely...
Or Nike.
Coca-Cola and Nike are crushing it. But I also think it entirely has to do with the product you're selling and the content you're creating around it. Like, we're working with an office supply company right now. One of our challenges is for B2B office supply sales, what kind of content do we need to be putting out through LinkedIn to maybe, like, push more product towards these companies,
or get people
like,
interested in the brand, or get people, you know.
Yeah, so selling like a soda or a pair of running shoes with like a sports documentary is different from like selling tabbed folders through social media. So it just 100% depends on what you're selling,
the content,
and who your audience is. Yeah. So yeah, we're still trying to figure out a good like social strategy for this specific podcast. So I don't know.
I mean, looking at the stuff in general,
yeah,
it looks like a mixture between posting a lot, having some kind of human, face, I guess, to the stuff. And I mean, these are at least some common trends I'm seeing today, a human face having content that people like actually care about, or
yeah,
like that people actually want to see, or it has to invoke some kind of emotion of awe or being funny, like entertainment, mm-hmm, or just super, super informational. I mean, that's the reason why people go on social, right?
Sure.
Or why people go on the internet at all. So kind of an interesting way to look at it, I guess.
It also depends on like the audience and like, at least by podcast wise, it depends on like the podcast audience as well as the, like, you know, what the podcast is about. So a podcast that I listen to frequently is called the Bad Christian Podcast. And they're talking about hot button issues literally every episode. And so when they post the episode, they've got this crazy stacked comment section and everyone's, you know, ranting and raving over the things that were said or debating on stuff. And that's their audience, is they're always arguing over, you know, theological stuff, over philosophical things, over ethical things. But our audience, at least the way I imagine our audience, the way I think our audience is, are probably business owners, maybe like marketing agency owners or workers or whatever. So I'm wondering, like, if we're providing informational content, maybe they don't have the time to, you know, go crazy in a comment section. Maybe they take the nuggets we try and provide and apply them and move on and go. So I'm like, maybe we have a low engagement audience, but our listenership's growing.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners. Our listenership downloads constantly, so we know people exist.
Yeah, people exist, and we're getting more and more of it. But I'm like, maybe we have low engagement because like of maybe all these business owners don't have time to.
Well, what is, okay? So actually, then if personal brands do better than businesses, I want to see if some people from the podcast, because I know some people have already mentioned things on my, like, business personal Instagram, right? So what if we push people over to our Instagrams? So okay. If you're listening to this podcast, check out my handle. It's on Instagram. It's at @ATTILIO_DI_NUNNO. And then Travis is your name all together.
It's
right?
Travis Swearingen, all one word. So at TravisSwearingen. And go follow us on Instagram and engage with us there. And that might be good for us. I'm not really sure.
I want to answer questions on this podcast.
I absolutely do.
I want to like provide micro value. I want to provide like just granular value to people. Like, I love talking about macro topics. I love talking about our week. But I also would love to just bring some crazy value to someone if we can. I mean, we literally have just a bunch of experience that we've accumulated from starting and running a company for almost 4 years now. So, like, we know a little something. I mean, we're not, I don't know, like Grant Cardone or someone like that, like a Forbes person yet. But, you know, we have something that hopefully we can bring to the table, or at least offer a second opinion on things. Mm-hmm. So I'd be really interested to see if people go over to our personal brands instead of a business brand. We'll see. I would love to see you guys there, too. I'd love to see you guys there.
Oh, yeah. Like, comments, questions, concerns, anything. I'd love to talk about those or whatever. Like, I think it'd be great. If you're a business or an agency owner and you want to be on the show, we can arrange that.
Yeah, actually, we were thinking about having some kind of call-in or more call-ins. Because at the beginning of the show, we talked about having call-ins, and we really only had one call-in just because we kind of do this podcast at random times sometimes because we're busy. But I guess if we have a call-in, we can, like, actually schedule it and, like, figure out the whole thing.
Yeah.
That would be super sweet. I would love to have a call in too.
Yeah, for sure. So
I think that's why Twitter's good too, because it's like so live, like so spur of the moment. I'm not necessarily a huge advocate of Twitter, but that's definitely a big point, a big play for them. But yeah,
dude. Okay, so. We were also talking about this earlier, but I think this would be such a sick conversation for this podcast. And this is probably kind of pulling things back into sales. And I think you were telling me the other day that one of the struggles that you're having with like with selling to people is there's a lot of skepticism that's already ingrained in the people we're talking to about online marketing.
Yeah, for some reason too. And it might be just because like specifically the people that have like the biggest skepticism are the people that don't want to spend money, i.e. small business owners.
Yeah.
And for some reason they think that not spending money is better than spending money and like taking a risk to have more revenue. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to take the risk. They'd rather just stay where they're at, which to me is a bigger risk, but that's my mindset for growth, right? You take a risk and try to get it better. But yeah. At the same time, like, how do you not understand that online marketing works? Like,
so what you're saying, like, being risk averse can actually backfire into being something far more risky than you intended.
Yeah, because you're not trying things. You're not moving forward. You're not trying to move forward. I would rather take five steps backwards and take one step forward and then realize, oh, I can take a step forward like that.
Yeah.
And then you just keep taking steps forward, you know? So to me, not experimenting is a waste of time, and a waste of time is inherently risky.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge risk. One. So trigger factor one. Trigger factor two, like, you said this, and I thought this was, like, visionary, like, legendary phrase here. I mean, do you want to – it was the thing about, like, they have internet, you know?
Okay, so I think it really comes down to observing the world around you. So Attilio is trying to convey that to be more risk averse and to sit where you are and not spend money and not take risks, it's actually more risky because you're failing to observe that the world around you is changing at a rapid rate. If you don't do something to pivot or to adapt, you're eventually going to get left behind. And I think that's those same observational skills are necessary when we're talking about does certain marketing methodologies work. So it's like, oh yeah, I don't know if online marketing really works. I'm like, awesome. Do you have a smartphone? Do you pay for the internet?
Yeah.
Have you Googled? Yeah. How many times have you Googled something this week? Six. Be honest. Like, not just because you don't want to be sold to right now, but it's like, be honest with yourself. Like I Google so much stuff a day. I can't even put a number on it. Like, how many times are you Googling things? No one is using the phone book anymore. My dad is, you know, approaching 70 years old. And the man is not even looking at phone books anymore or anything. He is Googling absolutely everything. If he needs to know how to fix something nowadays, he's YouTubing it. Like, from young to old, everybody is using the internet to look for and to find fixes for their lives or products that they want or whatever. Like,
where they want to go, what they want to do.
I think to sit here and say online marketing doesn't work and to use a smartphone daily is the most hypocritical thing of all time.
Contradictory.
It's absolutely contradictory. Like, oh, inbound marketing doesn't work until you Google it and find it and buy it. Like,
maybe they don't realize that they themselves are victims of inbound marketing by, like, finding a piece of content that's useful for them or by Google searching and going to the first Mexican restaurant you see on Mexican restaurant listings. Like,
yeah,
that's inbound marketing. Like,
it works.
That's it. It's happening to you. Like, whether you know it or not. And if someone did you wrong in the past, it's probably because they were doing something incorrect. We put in a proposal last week, 2 weeks ago for someone, and their whole website is out of whack. Like, everything about it. And they are working with another, like, online marketing company. How do you expect to get results? How do you expect to be even doing work on a website or on the online presence if everything's out of whack? Like, that's before 101. Like, if you have a company and it's using the wrong tools to do things, or they don't know what they're doing, they don't have a track record, I mean, that's a red flag. You should not be working with them. You need to be able to see that they did something. It got you more leads. It got you more customers. It got you more revenue. And all of it has to be trackable.
I mean, in our industry, it's just so technical and jargon heavy that companies can literally just say they're doing something and not actually put in the work. And the client wouldn't be the wiser because they can't really check it. They don't really have the tools. And they don't understand the metrics to look for to know if anything's working or not.
They do understand revenue, though, right?
They understand
so
revenue.
If you can track the whole thing, you know, if you track a lead, to revenue generation, like, come on, man.
I don't know. So I think when, like, in the instance of this client we're talking about, or potential client, where they're not sure if they want to make a switch to our company from the other guys, because I don't know if they actually believe in the value of online marketing, but they're also not observing their own behavior with what they do on the internet. You know what I mean? Like if you want to know if online marketing works, get a ticker and count every single time you Google search something, anything.
Well, the funny thing is too, like, you know, billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
So that relies on you driving around, looking up and seeing the thing, right? So what happens when everyone's on their phone in the car? Because they are. Do you remember when Oprah was doing that thing where it was like, don't text and drive? It's a problem. It's a huge problem. People, like, if you pull up to a stoplight and look to your left and right, I bet those two people are looking down at their phone.
Yep.
Like, texting and driving is a big problem, right? People do it. You're on your phone when you're driving. You're on your phone all the time. It's just like, pay attention. That's where the attention's all at. If you want to advertise, if you want to market, if you want to sell, hell, even if you want to, like, just put out funny stuff, like, it's the internet that you go to. I mean, like, it's a no-brainer. It's where the world's at.
Look at your own behavior and really take note of what you're doing and what you're consuming, because I think that's going to answer the question for you. Be observant. Like, every single person is on their phone 24/7, oftentimes in the bathroom. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't even remember the last time I went to the bathroom without my phone. Like, come on. Like, watching Netflix, I mean, you name it. People are on the internet. I mean,
it's undeniable. Before you get this idea that online marketing doesn't work,
or that your customers aren't online, it's BS.
Check your own behavior and realize that they Google things too.
And that line of symmetry, that thought process could be transferred to any field. No matter what you're selling, no matter what you're marketing, look at the behaviors, look at where the attention is, reverse engineer it, and then be there. Straight up. If you're selling, you know, I don't know, gummy bears, look at where the attention is for gummy bears. Look at where you can go fit yourself in for gummy bears. Mm-hmm. I mean, any service that you're thinking of, it works the same. I mean, use that same logic. Use the same logic.
We were going to do photos for our website a few months ago. And I was going to get something to wear at Banana Republic. And we went in there and we were talking with the people who are running the store. And, you know, if you don't know anything about Lubbock, Texas, we're a big-time college town, Texas Tech University, 30,000 or 30,000 to 40,000 people strong university. And we found out from Banana Republic that they actually run, like, big time student discounts, which in my mind is sweet, because I'm like, if I'm a college student, I need to find discounted, like, nice work clothes for internships, for any kind of job that I might have that might require that. Like, I actually dressed up far more when I was in college than I do now as a business owner. I mean, it's a huge deal. And so we're like, hey, like, what are you guys doing, like social media wise to, like, let Texas Tech kids know about y'all student discounts? And they're like, they kind of looked at us like, what are you talking about? Like, why would we do that? Which I'm sitting there going, like, if you just hit up all the Texas Tech hashtags with Banana Republic student discounts and different things like that, like, educate the kids at Texas Tech that Banana Republic will give you a sweet discount if you come in with a student ID, it'd be huge. But they looked at us like like a deer in the headlights. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That, and it blows my mind.
It, like, all you have to do, too, is just run a social ad. Like, Facebook is super cheap, and you can target exactly the people that you want to target, i.e. students, because you have a student discount. And you can literally bring in all that customer base, and then, you know,
when they
leave college, they'll probably still come back to you because they have all their clothes from Banana Republic and they got great discounts when they were in college. Like, think about it.
I don't know. Blows my mind. But I remember she was like, would that work? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. What do you think the college kids are looking at right now?
I can't remember their how we left on their stuff, too. Like, I feel like we left because, I mean, obviously because we were just there to buy something.
Yeah.
But, like, we left because she, like, said that they do something already or, like, that they wouldn't do that. Or I forgot why we left, but.
Oh, I think we just got done with the conversation because we got done checking out and we had to go do something else for a client. Or
we should have, like, hard sold her. there was a reason. Like, she gave us, like, an excuse to not do it.
I don't remember.
And it was like, it was pretty asinine, but that's what I remember. I was like, unbelievable. I was in a state of shock, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's pretty crazy. But
take risks. Like, it's not even about taking like stupid risks. It's about risk, like financially, like use your money to make more money. That's why you have it.
It's 2017. It's online marketing is not even.
We're just gonna start ranting. About
online marketing is not even a risk anymore. Like, I'm not a risk averse person. I don't think you can be as an entrepreneur. But like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, come on. But, anyways,
let's cash this bad boy.
Gotcha. Guys,
thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to us. Like, it means the world to us that people are actually taking the time to listen to our ranting and our raving about our weeks and all that. So thank you so much.
Hopefully we provide some value to you guys. So.
Go follow Atilio_DI_NUNNO on Instagram or Travis Swearengen, SWEARENGEN on Instagram. If you want to, we'd still love to build the value of this podcast, answer any questions you guys might have. Thank you. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
Peace.